Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Glatis Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. K. Manikandan, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the earnings call to discuss our performance for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2025. I appreciate your continuous participation and interest as we move ahead in our fight here as a listed company. The operating environment during the quarter remained challenging across global logistics and freight market. Trade flows across key corridors stayed uneven, freight rates continued to soften, and shipment planning by customers remained cautious. In this backdrop, our focus remained on customer engagement and disciplined cost control. For the quarter under review, revenue from operations stood at ₹1,439 million. The movement in revenue reflects lower shipment volumes and softer realization across several trade lanes, particularly in sea freight. Demand visibility during quarter was limited, and customers continued to optimize inventories and shipment sizes, which impacted overall throughput. Operating profitability also moderated in line with lower revenue base and price pressure. EBITDA for the quarter was ₹40 million, with margin of 2.8%. Profit after tax stood at ₹27 million, with a margin of 1.9%. During this phase, we cautiously choose to retain key customers' accounts and service levels, even where margins are thinner, to protect long-term relationships and business continuity. From volume perspective, container throughput during the quarter was 20,710 TEUs, lower than the earlier periods. This trend is broadly aligned with industry patterns, where global container movement has remained soft due to slower ordering cycles, ongoing supply chain adjustment, and cautious buying by importers. Looking at the business mix, sea import continued to be the largest contributor, accounting for about 79% of revenue for quarters. At the same time, sea exports show gradual improvement in share, increasing about 14.5% of revenue as compared to 12.2% in the previous quarter. This shift reflects pattern transition with export-oriented customers in select sectors and trade routes where we are expanding our engagement. On geographical side, Asia continued to remain our core region, contributing about 83% of our revenue for both quarter and 84% for the 9-month period. Customer concentration remained stable and relationship depth continued to improve. Contribution from our top 5 customers was about 31% of the revenue for the quarter and 38% for the 9-month period. This reflects repeat business and higher wallet share from long-standing clients, while we continue to add new accounts to diversify the base over time. From an industry perspective, renewable energy remained the largest vertical. We also saw a noticeable increase in contribution from engineering products, which increased to 20.2% in revenue in Q3 compared to 10.8% in previous quarter. This increase was supported by project cargo movement and higher dispatch activity from equipment and component manufacturers serving both domestic and export markets. Alongside market condition, we continued to invest selectively in operating footprint during the quarter. We opened new branch in Ahmedabad to strengthen our presence in West India and to support customer in that region with faster coordination and on-ground service. We also added 25 vehicles during the quarter by taking a total owned fleet strength to 42 vehicles. This addition improved our first mile and last mile control and reduced dependency on third-party availability in key locations. Going ahead, we will continue to focus on improving service depth, expanding customer coverage in target industry, and maintain tight control over operating cost. Our approach remains measured and long-term in nature. So I also request all the investors to look into long-term perspective instead of the quarter-wise. I would also like to thank our customer for the continued support, our employees for the consistent effort, and our shareholders for the support. With that, I now hand over the call to DP to walk you through the financial details. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and a warm welcome to everyone on the call. I will now take you through the financial and operational performance for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2025. Starting with the top line, revenue from operations for Q3 FY26 stood at ₹1,439 million, while for the 9 months period, it was ₹5,267 million. On the profitable front, EBITDA for Q3 was ₹40 million, reflecting an EBITDA margin of 2.8%, and for 9 months FY26 was ₹390 million with a margin of 7.4%. Profit after tax for the quarter was ₹27 million, and for the 9 months period, PAT stood at ₹270 million, resulting in a 9 month PAT margin of 5.1%. Now, turning to operational metrics, TEUs handled during Q3 FY26 were 20,710. For the 9 month period, the total TEUs handled were 67,742. Now, looking at the business mix for the quarter, sea import remained the largest segment, contributing around 79% of total revenue, while sea export contributed about 14.5%. Air import and air export together accounted for approximately 3.2%, and road transport made up around 3.9% of revenue. From a geographic perspective, Asia continued to be the primary contributor, accounting for around 83% of revenue in Q3 and about 84% for the 9 month period. North America contributed about 8% in Q3, followed by Europe at around 5%, with the balance coming from Africa, South America, and Australia. Regarding customer concentration, revenue from our top 5 customers during Q3 was ₹438.9 million, contributing 30.5% of total turnover. For the 9 month period, revenue from the top 5 customers was ₹1,976.3 million, representing 37.5% of total turnover. From an industry vertical perspective, renewable energy sector accounted for about 32.7% of revenue, and engineering products contributed about 20.2% of revenue for the quarter. For the 9 month period, renewable energy contributed 41.4% of total revenue, followed by engineering products at 13.7%, consumer durables and home appliances at 9%, and minerals and granite at 6.4%. In summary, while the quarter reflects a relatively soft operating environment, our cost structure remains aligned with business volumes, and we continue to maintain financial discipline and working capital control. With that, I conclude my remarks and request the operator to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Krish Jain from Nafa Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, I hope I'm audible. So thank you.
Can you use your handset mode, please, Krish?
Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, I was saying, thank you for taking my questions. So first few questions on the revenue front. So, revenue per TEU, which was around 97,000 in Q2, has come down to close to 70,000 this quarter. As well as, coming to the revenue split, there has been a sequential drop of 35% in ocean freight import revenues, as well as the Asia geography, and also a sequential drop of 50% in renewable energy and from the top five customers. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And also, if you, it'd be great if you could quantify the TEU drop as well.
Hi, hi, Krish. Thanks for this raising this question. So, revenue has dropped. The revenue has dropped due to two reasons. One, the market is very soft in Q3 due to a lot of policy changes, policy angles, especially from our country's policy against the Southeast Asia country's policy, that is especially on terms of imports. So that is one of the reasons the market was very soft. And second, the freight levels also dropped close to 28%-30%, so which has brought down the average per TEU basis quarter-on-quarter. It was very, it was, like, lower. For an example, in Q2, the average per TEU cost was around 79,000, and for this quarter, Q3, it is close to 67,000 odd. So there is, there has been almost like a 16% drop in terms of the pricing. So this, both these actions have brought down the revenue from the last quarter, if you say. And second, renewables, due to some policies, one, the Trump's policy of exports is now picking up, but there was no light in Q3. There was no visibility in Q3. And this has brought down this import, because a lot of manufacturings were happening and exports were happening to U.S., also for domestic. So due to this policy kind of fluctuations, especially from U.S., every manufacturer was very cautious on piling up their raw materials. So this brought down the volume, especially on the renewable sectors.
Krish, does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, that. Could you please also say the same for Asia geography as well? I couldn't get that answer.
In terms of China, like, still we used to do the major movements from China, Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand. So this could be the top four and Malaysia, so top five should be these regions. And we have now scaled up Cambodia, Africa and Europe. This is on export front. So this eight, nine corridors is where we are now targeting more. This, especially Q3, revenues have built up in this 7-9 countries.
Sure, sir. Coming to the cost of services rendered. So what I noticed is it's always been around 86% or 87% of revenue from operations, but this quarter it is around 91%. So that 400 basis movement is the main reason that the EBITDA margins are down this quarter. If you could explain what is the reason for that?
The cost has increased a bit from our side. And second, due to market dynamics, the prices were the freight rates were softening. We also wanted to, like, maintain our existing customer base, so we don't want to miss out any of our customer base. So we wanted to play it very soft, especially in Q3. So we just went with the wind. We didn't go against the wind, we went with the wind. So that's one of the reason there is a big drop in Q3, which you could see.
Sure. Sure, sir. Coming to the CapEx plan, last phone call you had mentioned that purchase of trailers will start by the end of Q3, the utilization of IPO proceeds will complete by Q4. Are we still on track to do that?
Krish. So we have already, as Mani has earlier quoted, so we had already included 25 fleets. So currently our fleet strength is 40. So we are again for doing some 45 odd fleets in Q4. So which means in terms of transportation, like we were trying to add 150 odd trailers from the IPO proceedings. We will be doing within Q4 close to 70-75 odd trailers within Q4. I'll tell you the reason why. So balance we will be doing in Q1 of FY27. And in terms of containers, for the containers of 1,000 containers, we will execute everything in Q4 itself. The payments have been already in under process, so we will initiate in Q4 itself. And containers which will come live from Q1 FY27 onwards. So the reason for why we did a slow deployment on trailers, see, in my earlier call also, we were trying to focus everything on a backward integration mode. So backward integration mode, we are integrating this transportation as well as containers. So container for the trailers, we have two challenges. One challenge is like we don't want to pile up all the assets in one or two trenches. So we want to fix this in multiple trenches due to operational and other AC-related issues. And second one is drivers, because availability of drivers is scarce, but we have identified drivers. And what we are trying to do is we are giving a quality training for all our drivers. It is almost like 1 week to 15 days, 1 to 2 weeks. So this training session also, we don't want to keep our vehicles idle. So we are like doing this training on a batch-by-batch basis. So that's one of the reasons why we have deferred this 60 to 70 odd vehicles to Q1 of FY27. But everything is under track. Everything is as we scheduled on.
Okay. Sure, sir. On the same track, so all these CapEx purchases will obviously increase our depreciation. It would be great if you could quantify the annualized incremental depreciation that we are going to see in FY27. And it's like I said, like the drivers you'll be hiring, which will increase your fixed cost. So you could quantify that as well. And how much are we planning to save in variable costs in FY27? And on the same hand, what kind of a capacity utilization percentage are you looking at for these CapEx purchases?
Krish, I'll go one by one. So let me just take assistance from DP for the depreciation mode for FY27. DP, can you just throw some light on it?
Yeah, I think it would be too early to quantify the annualized depreciation amount and the impact as of now. Corresponding to the depreciation amount which will hit the P&L, we are going to get the advantage from the containers purchase. And so I don't think it will give a much impact to the P&L because of that. Because we have both gains and expenses as well due to container purchase.
All right, sure. This is the final question from my side. If you could be great if you shared the TEU moved in Q3 of FY25.
Sorry, Krish, I couldn't get your question.
The TEU movement in FY25, Q3 FY25, sir.
We are on the same numbers, almost the same numbers. DC, can you just give the TU for FI, so the Q3 FI26?
Yeah. For Q3, the TUC is 26,700 odd. And for the 9-month period for 2025, it's 85,800 odd.
Sure. Okay. Those are all the questions from my side. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Bharat Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Bharat, please unmute your phone and go ahead with your question, please.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, hello. Sir, I would like to ask you the question, since we are seeing that majority of revenue is depending on the renewable sector and the following renewable sector outlook for imports is on a sort of a downward trend from FY26 onwards. So what are the, can you just throw some light on that?
As you said, earlier till FY24 and FY25, due to government policies for renewables, import of solar, finished solar modules were being imported and being allowed into India without any hiccups. So once this ALMM came into place and Government of India's Make in India drive is in fact pushing all this model importer to do model assembly or model manufacturing in India, in which the volume compared with module imports or the raw material compared with raw material imports, it's come down. This is for sure. And what we are understanding from the market is the capacity is also increasing in India. Like for example, customers who are doing 5 gigawatt of model line is now increasing the model capacity to 15 to 20 gigawatt. So this is giving us more opportunity of driving the volume, especially on the raw materials for this solar model, manufacturing of solar model. This is one of the case, and another one is energy storage battery, the best containers. So this is a big movement which is happening, and we are again an earlier entrant into this energy storage battery units, which is happening for this renewable industry. So we see a big opportunity in 2026 and 2027, this next 2 years at least, to I'm just giving a conservative 2 years. So we see a big movement of this energy storage coming into India, and we already started signing contracts with multiple customers, and we also started executing in different ports in India. So this could give more kind of a volume handling in coming years. And the third one I could say, like a lot of capex movements is again happening. As I said, the module capacity is getting increased. So the capex is also 2026 and 2027, these 2 years is going to be again capex movements from the Southeast Asia, Europe into India. So this will definitely give more opportunity for the business, and we are very positive on the volumes which could scale up.
So down the line, you see Glottis as still focused on the renewable sector for the revenue contribution. Is that correct?
No. The revenue contribution, definitely energy vertical is going to be one of the biggest vertical in Glottis, at least for the next 3-4 years. But now, in my last this thing also, I was telling about our concentration. We will be doing more in automobile. So we have signed few contracts with top automobile players, and we are executing this auto in a big way in Q4. So this auto spread will have a big growth compared with FY25. FY26 auto growth would be higher. Apart from auto, we'll be doing engineering and pharma, other 2-3 pharma and rubber, just 3-4 verticals we have already identified, and we have quantified some sizable customers in Q3 and Q4. So this could give a backup of solar, this renewable. But having said that, renewable is going to be a major movement for next 2 years. But our focal will remain spreaded. Which means like we will be concentrating, down the line, we'll be concentrating more on automobile, energy, and pharmaceuticals.
I think so we will be getting that synergy from Europe that EU has done for the automotive sector. Can
Yes.
you like share the early numbers for Q4? Because half of the quarter four is already completed. What are the trends? Are they soft like Q3 or what's the trend going to be like? Can you sort of throw some color on that?
This we could take an offline call, but I could say Q4 would be very positive and company is very bullish from Q4 onwards.
Okay. Moreover, can you give an outlook for FY 2027? I know it's a bit early, but still on the sort of that integration of backward integration that we have been talking about. We are shifting towards asset heavy model, right? Can you so just show some color on that incremental cost which we will be facing?
We are deploying assets in FY 2026 and FY 2027 Q1 combined close to 130 odd crores, especially on trucking and transport and containers. This will give significant growth, especially one in terms of revenue model, especially on the trucking. It will also bring down the cost when we deploy these containers which we buy. It will bring down the cost, which can increase the profitability. The margins, what we are currently in 9 months, combined 9 months, I think our EBITDA is close to 9 odd percent. We are very, very positive going on a double digit.
Okay. During the quarter, we opened one new branch. May I know where it is located? On that note, can you give a bifurcation of where the branches all over are located, the 9 branches?
Okay. The branch, currently we have opened the branch in Ahmedabad. Ahmedabad, we have a operating office, which is based out of Gandhidham. This Gandhidham branch is almost like 6 to 7 years, we have been operating Gandhidham branch. We thought we have to actively focus on Ahmedabad and the Surat belt, where we have lot of exports as well as import opportunities. That's one of the reason why we thought strategically, we thought Ahmedabad could be the right choice to set up a sales office, sales team. This could cater a big size of customers, both in terms of exports and imports. Our other branches are, as I said, in Gujarat, we have 2 branches, Gandhidham and Ahmedabad. Then we have a branch at Delhi. We have a branch at Kolkata. We have a branch at Bangalore. We have a branch in Coimbatore, Tuticorin, Cochin. These are the branches currently we have. We will keep adding more because we are identifying more promising areas. We'll keep adding more in coming.
To add, sorry to interrupt. To add to Ram's point, and Dhavash, Mumbai is also one more branch we have.
Yeah, Mumbai. Yeah.
Okay. One last question from myself. On the TEU numbers, like last quarter, we have been said that the TEU numbers will be more or less equal to the FY 2025 numbers for FY 2026 as well. That will make a sense if we are, let's say, 44,400, some odd TEU numbers will be pushed in the Q4. I don't think that's viable, but just can you throw some color on that?
In terms of TEUs in FY 2025, we did around 112,800 odd TEUs. As such, 9 months, we stand around 85,000 TEUs, which is short of 25,000 TEUs, which could be the target to achieve at least Q5, that is FY 2025 numbers TEUs, in terms of TEUs. Out of 25,000 TEUs, we are very bullish in this quarter, and we are very positive achieving at least close to that. The market is very soft, but we are still focusing more, and customer bases have increased. We could come little close to this numbers what we did last year.
Okay, just on that note, can you sort of assist me on linking how the TEU are linked to the revenue contribution?
TU comparison revenue. So this is like, so we have this 20-seater unit and 40-seater units, and this TU's like majority, since it is like Southeast Asia based, majority of our procurement supplies happens from the Southeast Asia base. So we average of the TU, what to say, it could be around close to 77,000 rupees per TU. I'm just giving you an approximate figure. So when and this is the cost and revenue, we go as per the market practice and as per the market demand and supply. So Q3 was very, very soft, and the global cues as well as the policies were completely shapeless, especially for our industry. So we thought like we will do a smaller percentage on from our current cost model. So but Q4 seems to be very promising, and we have some kind of a steady announcement coming in from Europe, US, and other areas, which is very positive note for the logistics industry and especially from the office.
Okay, so the TU numbers is the 77,000, which you say. So as per my model, it is 90,000. So I am assuming that is for all the sea routes. So on that note, can I request management to specifically give a route-wise TU bifurcation, if it's possible, for major routes at least?
Major routes. I think we have. DP, you have the data with the candidates second share for Q3?
Actually, we have country-wise TUs.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, coming to the top five contributors, as Ram sir have discussed, China, this quarter we have made around 7,900 odd TUs. With Vietnam, we have made 3,600 odd TUs. Indonesia, close to 2,000 TUs. Malaysia, approximately 1,600 TUs, and United States, around 1,300 TUs. These are the top five nations which have contributed to the most of the TUs in this quarter.
Okay, and the revenue derived from them are based on the distances of the routes?
No, it will not based on distance. It is based on the services and the vessel availability and the route model.
Okay, no problem. May I
So,
request that
yeah.
from next quarter onwards, can you also provide this data as public?
Sure. So you want to have some idea based on the route-wise, right? Route-wise, like maybe we can just give intra-Asia as one particular bucket, and Europe as second bucket, and Med as a third bucket, and fourth bucket could be US.
Yes, that will assist in the revenue model. Thank you.
Sure, definitely. Sure, definitely. We'll take a note. We will just give you TU-wise on TU-wise and TU-wise average cost also in this particular way.
That will be right. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one on their phone. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Ramkumar Sindhilval, Managing Director, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And we would thank everyone, each and everyone, the shareholders, the retail investors, our customers, for being with us, especially on this tough time. So Q3 is very tough for us, but we are very patient and very ambitious. Company is very ambitious and bullish. And we would request all our all stakeholders, all partners and investors to measure us on a long term, not on a short term basis. This could be my humble request, and I thank you everyone for trusting us, Glottis. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Glottis Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.